The gospel this week reminded me of an old joke, and I'll have to clean it up just a bit to make it church appropriate, but the point doesn't suffer much. It goes something like this. I was at a Christian bookstore recently, and I made a spur-of-the-moment decision to get a bumper sticker for my car that says, "Honk if you love Jesus," because I've seen lots of really cool people with those bumper stickers. I put it on before I even left the parking lot, and then I had a really, really great drive home. I was able to go a little faster than usual because, you know, I was kind of in a hurry. I even managed to catch up on email on my phone and send a few texts. I mean, I know I shouldn't, but I'm a really safe driver, so it's fine. And man, I had no idea how effective those bumper stickers are. There are way more true believers out there than I thought. It was so uplifting. The whole way home, people kept honking and shouting things to me about Jesus. All right, that's better than I expected, because I know I do not have a calling for the comedy business. But a little bit of humor helps to soften the point that Jesus made in this teaching, because it sometimes feels like it could have been directed just as fairly at us today. He's calling the Pharisees out because they are more concerned with the external trappings of religion than what's happening on the inside. Now, notice, he never criticizes their rules about purity or even calls their traditions bad. Instead, he points out the disconnect between their words and their actions. They talk a good game, but fail to live out the values they espouse. And we have a word for that. Jesus did too. Hypocrisy. It's a stinging rebuke because if we're going to be honest, we see plenty of it in our own lives and in the world around us. We make a big deal every Sunday about forgiving others, loving people, praying for those in need. And then I gotta tell you, Monday morning rolls around and it gets a whole lot harder. And so we do not always get it right. We see politicians claiming to be good, God-fearing people and then acting contrary to everything their religion teaches. We hear about churches and their leaders excluding and victimizing people in just shameful ways. Is it really any wonder that every generation seems to be leaving organized religion faster than the one before it? One of the questions the Gallup people ask every year is how much confidence the person has in the church or organized religion. In the 1970s, 2/3 of Americans said they had a great deal of confidence in the church. The church actually ranked higher than every other institution they asked about, except for the medical system. That number has now dropped to less than 1/3. In fact, among Gen Zs, over half said they have little to no trust in organized religion. And to be honest, I don't know that I blame them. Now, to be fair, this is part of a much broader cultural shift. It is not just the church dealing with this. Confidence has dropped in the medical system, schools, newspapers, and this one's not going to shock you, Congress and the presidency. But apparently people don't even trust banks anymore. Here's what I think we have learned. Any institution made up of broken human beings is going to be broken. Hypocrisy is human nature. But here's the difference about the church. Banks, I don't think, were instituted by God. Neither were newspapers or schools. God chose to work in the world through this group of imperfect human beings right here, and the billions of others across time and space. Not to fix everything, because there is no way we ever could. As the letter from James puts it, we're called to be kind of a first fruits, a beginning of the harvest that will one day come. Our calling is to recognize that the kingdom of God has come to earth and to live like we believe it. to make real what is already true. And that means kindness matters a whole lot more than bumper stickers. That caring for the vulnerable is more important than showing off how religious we are. People will judge us based on what we do far more than what we say. That is a fact I wish the church had recognized a very long time ago. I probably need to make a quick point here, because otherwise these pews will justifiably be totally empty next week. And the point is this: what we think and what we say still matters. Remember that one of Jesus' main teachings here is that external behaviors flow from an internal state of mind. The problem is what one theologian has called the poisoned well of human motivation. Paul wrote about it 2,000 years ago in one of his letters, when he acknowledged that we so often do the things we know we shouldn't instead of the things we know we should. We might well call that problem original sin. But the church has been given an antidote. And to explain it, I'm going to use a pretty complex concept from the world of behavioral psychology. Are you ready? The concept is this: fake it till you make it. Yes, it's a bit of a cliche. No, it isn't always helpful. But in this context, I think it works. If, for example, we want to be more forgiving people, we just start forgiving people. We say that we forgive them, we shake their hand at the peace, and then we come to the table together. If we want to be more prayerful, well, the first step is obvious. You just start praying. If you begin to feel angry, well, try listening more and talking less. Over time, these small things become habits. They infuse us. They shape us. They change us. And that is what we need to show the world we are all about. Transformation, bit by bit by bit, into more of what God intends for us. Who knows? Maybe if we do that, we actually can fix everything. Amen.